I've known Balwant for about 3 years now, and I'm working with him on several international biochar characterization projects. And when I see him speak overseas, I see that he has a command of the biochar characterization, what is its use, and then how is a farmer going to use it. But I really have to admit that I taxed him when he was emailing me saying, how am I going to do something like this in Southeast Asia to say biochar usage in those regions? So he kind of weenied out on me and said, I can't do Southeast Asia, but can I do Australia? So I asked him to see if he could put some numbers together to get an idea of what is the usage of biochar in Australia, which is what he will be addressing. Thank you.
Bella, you have the floor.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeff. I should thank the many previous speakers. I think they have covered a very good ground in terms of introducing the biochar technology and some of the issues, problems, and where there is potential. I'm going to probably rehash the similar sort of things, but more focused to Australia and New Zealand. And before I do that, I just wanted to sort of, some of you, if you are not aware, I just wanted to bring a couple of things in relation to Australia and New Zealand. First of all, many of you, if you are aware, and many of you probably not aware, in Australia, agriculture is a very low input agriculture, okay? We don't have intensive agriculture. Our soils are not very productive, so we have large acreage, so farmers, they kind of do a sustainable farming system where minimum applications of fertilizer, etc., except that we apply a lot of phosphatic fertilizers, our soils being highly weathered. Okay. On the other hand, New Zealand is a quite different country. It's a country which produces a lot of dairy products. They have lots of pastures, high rainfall. So in these two countries, when this biochar research commenced, the applications were quite contrasting. In New Zealand, they wanted to minimize the emission of greenhouse gases from their pasture systems. And in Australia, we wanted to, farmers thought of increasing productivity in those low productivity soil, highly weathered, infertile soil. So think of these two things. We are not talking about the system, but many of you are aware in the US, we are talking about a low input, fairly sort of infertile agriculture system in Australia, and in New Zealand, we are talking about predominantly dairy system where their application was mainly to minimize greenhouse gases. So that's how the biochar interest started in these two countries. I should acknowledge my two co-authors, Marta Camps, Abisten Sees, heading the New Zealand Biochar Research Centre, and Stephen Joseph, a colleague from University of Newcastle. In next 15 minutes or so, I'm going to briefly give you an overview of the sort of research which has been done in New Zealand and Australia. What sort of production technology are being used or have been used, some estimates on biochar usage in these two countries and some other neighboring Asian countries, and what are the issues really, why biochar technology has not taken up at least in broad farming areas, and where are some emerging opportunities in these two countries. So let's get straight into some of the biochar research in Australia. We started on a serious way researching biochar in Australia with these two major projects, one funded through the bottom one Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries, Federal Department, and the first one is GRDC, which is Grain Research and Development Corporation. It's a sort of funding coming from putting levy on the the farmers. Okay, and both of these projects, they were multi-institutional projects, including universities, CSIRO, and Agriculture Department of some of the states. The research was focused mainly on kind of looking at what sort of biochar potentially we could produce in Australia, and what are their potential applications or some sort of agronomic value of those biochars in Australian sort of soils and field conditions. Following those following this, then in 2012, another round of funding was funded by the Department of Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestry, and they funded four or five projects. Altogether in these five, six projects, the total amount of funding was not enormous. We are just talking about probably less than $5 million here. New Zealand biochar research community was probably better off. They were funded very well. The New Zealand Biochar Research Centre commenced in 2009, and they appointed two new professors at the Massey University, and there was additional funding for doing research through the postgraduate students and other projects. These are some of the projects which were funded in New Zealand, and many of these, as you can see, they are mainly focused on carbon sequestration, and the major focus in most of them was on greenhouse gas emissions from those pasture, dairy pasture systems. We have been quite active in terms of the biochar research community internationally. We have organized quite a few conferences, and probably this was a conference in 2009 was one of the first international conferences held in New South Wales, Australia, and following this we organized the first Asia Pacific conference, and some of the colleagues from the US participated at these meetings, and some of the work has been published focused on certain industry. For example, there is one comprehensive document was produced particularly for horticulture use of biochar. We also have a network of Australia and New Zealand biochar researchers. Likewise, in New Zealand, they have organized annual workshops. Once again, this was the requirement of the funding body that they will organize these workshops, and they will educate farmers and producers of biochar in terms of the application of this research. Some of you have actually used biochar produced in Australia using some of these plants. This is the famous Daisy reactor, and as I said, some of you probably have used. This has been used mainly for producing biochar for research purposes, fairly controlled conditions, and you can potentially put in anything up to 7-8 kilograms of the dry mass material and get biochar. We have some large facilities where there is a continuous production of biochar. This is one of the plant. Unfortunately, I'll come to that later on, but this plant and a couple of other plants are just basically close to the stage of closing down. This has been sitting idle, not being used for the last 10 or 11 months, I would say. At one stage, this was actively producing biochar continuously. And we have actually got biochar produced from this plant for our field experiments under research condition. This plant produced by this company, Biotile Energy System, this is a mobile unit which I would say this is probably one of the unit or the, one of the company which is flying biochar now most widely in Australia. This is based in the state of Victoria, eastern state, and this, as I said, is able to process any kind of biomass material from woody biomass to plant crop residues to animal manures and things like that. New Zealand, they also have similar sort of biochar production system, and I just want to make a mention of this unit, which I heard, or Marta supplied information about this unit only recently, that this can produce biochar continuously. It's self-powered and portable. So it has got all the kind of right attributes what you will need for a biochar production system. And these are some of the typical production system that from 1 ton of feedstock you will get about 60% bio oil, 20% biochar and 20% syngas. So this is, as you can see, this is more focused towards the fuel side. Biochar is a byproduct in this sort of biochar production system. In New Zealand, they also have units for producing biochar for research purposes, smaller units, as this is at Massey University. Okay, so what sort of biochar being used in that part of the world? I'll give you some number, and remembering, I have tried very hard to get numbers, particularly for Australia and New Zealand. Companies are not willing to share these numbers. There are different reasons why they don't wish to share. Some of the companies, they are not selling a lot of biochar. They don't want to disclose that they are not able to sell biochar, because that will even mean that their system will either there is something wrong with the amount of the type of biochar they produce, or biochar is not good enough. So they kind of keep a fairly close wrap on what sort of biomass they use, how much biochar they are producing, where they are supplying. They are not disclosing this information. This was information was given to me by colleague Stephen Joseph. According to him, he did a report for agency, and that about 100,000 tons of biochar is produced in Cambodia, Vietnam and Laos. And remembering that most of the biochar probably is produced using much simpler system. I wouldn't call them high-tech system, and there may be a lot of carbon going up in the air in the process of biochar production. In many of the other Southeast Asian countries, rice husk is commonly used to produce biochar, and the estimates are that in total about 500,000 tons of biochar is being produced. China is perhaps the country which is producing the largest amount of biochar. Estimates are around 200,000 tons of char. And I think in the last 1 or 2 or maybe 3 years, they are producing nutrient-enriched biochars, where they either fortify it by adding some fertilizers or mixes of manure and chemical fertilizers, and so that the application rates of biochar are reduced significantly. The amount or the estimate for Japan is around 50,000 tons. Japan is the country where probably biochar has been used for the longest period of time for several applications. So what are the estimates for Australia? Well, I think from our calculations and talking with lots of people, we think about 1,000 tons of charcoal is being used in horticulture industry, mainly as a potting mix or growing media. probably another 110 used for various type of either field experiments or some sort of private companies doing their testing, or some kind of reuse of the waste material to produce biochar and then further kind of supplying it to other farms. There are some, low technology systems as well, where biochar is produced at a local scale, where the carbon benefits are not as good as you would expect in a well-engineered system. We have had a few unsuccessful attempts in terms of using green, council green waste to convert biochar. There was a project which was approved in Melbourne 2 years ago, and then the company which was putting money towards this project, they pulled the plug at the last minute, and that project was shelved. But now, finally, we have got one large project which is going to commence in 2016. This is a small town in the northern New South Wales, Balna, where they are expected to pyrolyze anything between 30 to 40,000 tonne of biomass to produce approximately 8,000 tonne of biochar. And most of this biochar probably is going to be used for horticultural crops in that part of the state. I'll go very quickly though. These are some of the newer applications of biochar that it's being added to the cattle feed, also being used in number of smaller companies as the additive material for composting. So why biochar is not successful in Australia, and this is true for New Zealand as well. The number one factor, what we found as far as broad acre farming in Australia goes, that lots of farmers try to begin with applying biochar to the level of 5 tonnes per hectare or even up to 10 tonnes per hectare, but the productivity gains were not there in most cases, or minimal. And because the cost of the biochar is very high, and basically, as I said to you before, it's a low-intensive input agriculture in Australia, and farmers cannot really afford to buy a product which is costing this sort of money, and when the gains are not matching the profitability. Other thing which is important to remind here is that about 2-3 years ago we had a government policy to put price on carbon, and the government set a price $23 per ton. But after the change of the government, that policy has disappeared, so there is no real value for carbon in Australia. There are some other constraints in terms of efficiency of herbicide, pesticides, and also this is the main focus or main constraint in case of New Zealand, the value of the biochar against the greenhouse gas emission benefits. Once again, they were not getting the expected benefits, so that's why it didn't quite work. Where we go from here, I guess one of the probably the emerging or potential area is use of the urban waste, making biochar. That urban waste could include human waste as well from the water companies. That could be combined with the green waste, and I think that's one of the potential composite biochar where you can mix some fertilizers, maybe other amendments to make biochar really useful so that it can produce either the agronomic benefits or major benefits in terms of improvement of soil properties. There are potential in remediation of contaminated sites, mine rehabilitations, and also use in hydroponics and probably multiple use. This is one of the success story where biochar has basically been used in full circle. Here we are talking about a very highly saline in north of Adelaide in South Australia, where these are the salty swamps. This is native reed, and this plant is then used to make biochar. This biochar then was used to filter the acid, which is acid drain because of the acid sulfate soils. A lot of acidity was being drained from there. And that biochar then neutralized the acidity, retained the nutrient, and that enriched biochar is then applied to the soil. So there was a full circle. And I think this example is sort of application where you can use biochar even in low input agriculture systems to get some benefits. I'll close it with this slide. We have summarized some of these constraints and opportunity in a paper which is going to be coming out next week in Soil Research. This is with respect to Australia. And a couple of more papers coming with respect to Australia and New Zealand in a book that's going to be published by the Tri Societies. Thank you for your attention.